Our next speaker definitely knows a thing or two about making a successful comeback story happen. She's a cowgirl turned television personality who experienced a lot of criticism in the earlier years of her career because she didn't quite fit the traditional cowgirl mold. So, she labeled herself as the fancy lady cowgirl because who says you can't be both a little fancy and a little ranchy? People from all over quickly showed their love for her new label as the fancy lady cowgirl, and now she has inspired women from all over the nation to share how they also uphold traditions of the West in unexpected ways. Let's take a look.
When it came to achieving big dreams, I never took no for an answer. When it came to fitting in, I learned that standing out was actually the key to success. A dream is the hardest thing to hold on to, but if you refuse to give up, you'll wake up one morning and realize you're living it.
Here to inspire us with her own comeback story and more, let's welcome to the stage our keynote speaker of convention, Ms. Courtney Dehoff.
I'm so fancy, you already know, I'm in the fast lane, from LA to Tokyo. I'm so fancy, can't you taste this girl, remember my name, oh, oh, oh. I said, baby, I do this, I told that you knew this.
All right. Whoa, this is so cool. I am so honored and excited to be here today. Okay, I got to tell you all. When FFA reached out and they said, are you interested in being the national keynote speaker? I was like, heck yes. Signed, sealed, delivered. I didn't ask a single question. I didn't actually really understand what I was getting into. And then FFA announced it, and then I shared it on my social media, and all these people started commenting, and I had one comment, and this woman said, I remember the national keynote speaker when I was at FFA convention 20 years ago, and it changed my life. And I was like, okay, I wasn't nervous, but I can change lives. This is fine. I've got this. I'll change some lives today. And then another woman commented under my announcement that I was the keynote speaker, and she said, I remember when the keynote speaker walked out my year at national convention. And I remember the goosebumps on my arms as George H.W. Bush walked out. I was, okay, this is fine. I'm not panicked. I'm a little panicked. What did I sign up for? And okay, I'm like full flop sweat at this point. And so I made the terrible decision. I was like, I'm going to get on YouTube and I'm going to Google all the past national FFA keynote speakers. Oy vey. I just sat there in horror in my living room. Former presidents, New York Times best-selling authors, Olympians, national heroes. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. What do I bring to this table? But I stepped back, and I took a deep breath, and I called my mom and, you know, yelled at her, because that's what you do when you're stressed, right? You call mom, and you say, what have I done? And I thought, you know what? I know what it is that sets me apart. I know what makes me different. It's the same thing that's been setting me apart my entire television career. It's the same thing that sets each and every one of you apart. What sets me apart is that I am an agriculture kid. I was raised in organizations like FFA. That's what sets me apart. Y'all, I am just a little cowgirl from Kansas. A little cowgirl from Kansas, yeah. Oh, Kansas in the house, okay. A little cowgirl from Kansas who always liked to be a little extra with the clothing choices and had a terrible bowl cut, apparently, I'm just now realizing. But I was a little cowgirl from Kansas who loved cow ponies. I loved rodeo and showing cattle. That's what I did. Eventually, I grew up and I went to Oklahoma State University where I majored in, hey. Okay, folks. I went to Oklahoma State University where I majored in agricultural communications. I was on the rodeo team. That's really why I went there. But I did get an education there, and I loved it. Now, during my time at OSU, I got an internship at a local TV station. And I showed up to this internship, and I fell in love with storytelling. I fell in love with television, and I knew from that moment on I wanted to be a great storyteller. Now, after my internship was over, my little key card that I used to get in the door, they didn't take it away. And so I just kept going to this TV station. For 3 years, I went to this TV station. So when people say, how did a little cowgirl from Kansas end up on national TV? I think of that key card and I think, I just kept showing up. I just kept showing up. If you don't take anything away from this keynote today, let it be that. Whatever you do in life, whatever your big, crazy, wild dream is, just keep showing up. And one day you might just accidentally show up on the biggest stage in agriculture, right? It's pretty cool. So eventually I graduated, and y'all, guess what? I landed my first TV job right out of college. And I was like, okay, I'm killing the game of life. Like, I went right to the top. I have graduated college. I land this big fancy job. Everything's going Courtney's way. I was feeling very proud of myself. I was like, I'm about to be the next big thing. You want to know how long I lasted at my first big kid job out of college? 1 year. I only lasted 1 year at my first job. And you want to know what I did? I quit. I walked away from my big first fancy job. And as an agriculture kid, we're kind of taught that you don't quit, right? You never give up. You're gritty. You work hard, even if you don't like what you're doing. So I felt, quite frankly, like a loser. Man, I had failed. I couldn't even make it at my first big kid TV job. So I packed up my apartment in Nashville, Tennessee, and I went right back to Kansas. And I moved back in with mom and dad. Yikes. But eventually, I would land another TV job. But when I quit my first TV job, I quit something else. You see, agents and managers, people in TV who help you get jobs, I said, hey, you know, will you help me get the next job? And they would say, you have a little bit of talent, but what's your dream job? I said, the dream is to work in New York City. The dream is to work in the number one TV market in the country. I want to be on TV in New York someday. And they would say, oh, okay, kid. They would say, well, you got a little bit of talent. Maybe someday the top 1% makes it to New York. But here's what we are going to tell you. If you're ever going to be taken seriously in places like New York and LA and Chicago and Dallas, these big, fancy TV markets, that hat on your head, it's not going to cut it. And those boots that you wear on your feet, they're cute, but save them for a country concert on the weekend with your friends. Now, I had just quit my first big kid job. I felt like a failure. So I am ready to do whatever it takes to succeed. Y'all, this hat, this cowboy hat went in the closet for a decade. For 10 years, I turned my back on agriculture. For 10 years, you wouldn't have caught me dead in a pair of cowboy boots in a big fancy stadium like this in Indianapolis, right? I decided I would do whatever it took to succeed in the world of television. And so I listened to society when they said, look, if you want to fit in, if you want to be taken seriously, you got to quit the cowgirl act. So I did eventually land my next job, and I was getting to do some pretty cool stuff. I'm hanging with celebs. I'm walking red carpets with, like, Michael B. Jordan, chilling with, you know, Garth and Trisha. The old dude with the pretzel, y'all probably don't know who that is. Gene Simmons from the band Kiss, right? Like, I'm getting to do some pretty cool things. But no matter how big I got, no matter what celebrity I got to hang out with or what cool story I got to tell, oh, it is hard to take the agriculture out of the kid. I just couldn't quite kick my background or my roots. So fast forward several years. About 4 years ago, I'm working at a nationally syndicated morning news show in Dallas, Texas. And there's a major news story that nobody in the industry is talking about. Fox, CNN, ABC, none of the giants are telling it. And I thought, you know what? This is a story worth telling. Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, there were wildfires that were sweeping across these parts of the country. And you know who was affected? Farmers and ranchers. It was burning down multi-generational ranches. And I thought, this is a story worth telling. And I explained to my executive producer when I sent her the pitch, I said, look, agriculture affects everybody. We all eat. It's the clothes we wear, the products we use. And I sent this pitch and I said, this is a story we have to tell as a national network. And when she got my story pitch, she stood up in a room full of all my peers, all my co-hosts, my editors, everybody. She said, hey, Courtney. I said, yeah. She said, I got your story pitch. I'm like, okay. She said, need I remind you, this is a real news network. stop bringing me your little cowgirl problems. I tell you that story because that's the moment everything changed. That's the moment the girl who hid her roots for 10 years said, enough's enough. Maybe I'll never fit into the fancy world of television, but I have got to stand up for my community and tell this story. So I put together a little something and I posted it on my Facebook page. I didn't have a very big following. It was like my mom and my grandma and my pappy. He calls it the Book of Faces. He doesn't have the Book of Faces, but he can watch the video through my grandma. I had like 3 people following me. But I thought if one person sees this story, then it's a story worth telling. I posted it, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and someone had shared it. I thought, there it is. They wouldn't let me tell it on the news, but one person shared it on Facebook. So I did something. And then I looked at the view count. In 8 hours, that little agriculture story that my executive producer told me wasn't worth being on the national news, in 8 hours, that video had been viewed 1.5 million times. And that was the moment that I realized, holy cow, agriculture has a story worth telling. So I started telling more and more stories like this. And I snuck into the closet and I put the cowboy hat back on, right? I was like, okay, I'm going to wear the boots. Like, I don't fit in the TV, but I'm going to tell more agriculture stories. So I started telling more and more stories. Just on my little social media pages, they're still not letting me tell them on the news. 2 million views, 5 million views, 8 million views. I'm like really leaning into this agriculture thing all of a sudden. And then the phone starts ringing and people are like, can you come and speak at our event? And I'm like, yes, I would be so honored. Again, I'm like kind of feeling myself, right? I'm like, okay. I'm like stepping into my own. I'm telling agriculture stories. I'm finally tapping back into my roots. And then one day, I shared this photo, this exact photo. I shared this photo and started getting DMs. The DMs started coming in on Instagram, right? And I was like, golly, people love me. They just like can't get enough of me. And then I opened these messages and they said, oh, we thought you were a real cowgirl. You're just another wannabe. We didn't know that that's how you dressed. Oh, we didn't know you live in a major city. We thought you were like a cowgirl who lived on a ranch and knew what she was talking about. And y'all, if I'm being honest, it kind of broke my heart. My community, because I didn't look the part, because I didn't live where they thought I should live, suddenly was questioning whether I was worthy of telling agriculture stories. And it crushed me. And so I waited a couple days and I shared the same photo again. And I said this. I said, hey, you can live in the largest cities in America and still advocate for agriculture. The hat on your head does not define your worth. The shoes on your feet make no difference. The color of your skin, your religion, your beliefs. Everyone has a place at the table. And I really, truly believe that. We shouldn't be writing anyone off who wants to be a part of this community. And at the end of that post, just randomly, I wrote hashtag fancy lady cowgirl. Because I decided, you know what? The fancy world of television said I didn't fit in there. But now they're saying I'm not a real cowgirl. I'm tired of trying to fit in. I'm going to be both. I'm going to be a fancy lady and a cowgirl. It started with a simple little hashtag. I want to leave you guys with just a few of the things that I've learned throughout my career. Because I have been told no a lot. I have had to fight to get to where I am. People still don't understand or even like necessarily what I'm doing or the message that I'm sharing. But here's the thing. I want everyone to have the opportunity to know each and every one of you in this room. Because I know how good the people are in this rural and agriculture community. Fancy lady cowgirl, there she is. You can be both a little fancy and a little ranchy. Y'all, this is not the outfit I was supposed to wear tonight. I ripped the first one in half. Little ranchy, little fancy, right? Fancy lady cowgirl took off and became something quite special. My first little tidbit that I want to leave you with is this. The only person who has to believe in you is you. Let me say it again. The only person who has to believe in you is you. You can have great teachers and mentors and mom and dad and friends and family, but y'all, take it from someone who did not believe in themselves for 10 years. If you don't believe in yourself, you'll never fully tap into your potential. You'll never fully tap into your purpose. The only person who has to believe in you is you. When you walk out of here today, walk out head held high and think, I believe in myself. I think that that is so important. The next is this. Make your mess your message and never settle. The first person I ever heard say, make your mess your message is Robin Roberts, co-host of Good Morning America. But I love this because people always say, Courtney, we hear you shouting about share your story, share agriculture story, but we don't have a story. Oh, yes, you do. Fancy Lady Cowgirl, when I used that hashtag, I didn't think, hashtag Fancy Lady Cowgirl, I'm going to launch a global brand. Nah. All I was doing was turning my big, ugly mess into a message. And y'all, it's going to be messy. Life isn't easy. It's going to be a hard, messy journey. People are going to not believe in you. They're going to try to get you to fit into molds that you don't want to fit into. Make your mess your message and share your story. And never, ever settle. Never settle for mediocrity. Agriculture, we do not settle. So never settle. The final thing that I want to leave you with is this. And this is one that I'm still sort of learning. Don't confuse your intermission for your finale. January of 2020, I put a microphone in my hand and an earpiece in my ear, and I heard the words that I had been waiting 31 years to hear. Courtney, we're 20 out. 15 out. Stand by. We're coming to you live inside Madison Square Garden. Courtney, in 5, 4, 3, you're live in New York City. Woo! Y'all, it still gives me goosebumps. I had waited 30 years to hear that in my ear. And you want to know the best part? I was standing in New York City on TV in cowboy boots. I landed. Thank you. Thank you. I got to be the sideline host for the PBR. Not only was I standing in New York City in cowboy boots, I was getting to interview some of the best cowboys in the world. I had asked my agent to pitch me for that job, and he said, nah, you don't have any sports experience. I can't pitch you for that. You know what I did? I didn't settle, and I pitched myself. And then when I went to New York, I said, hey, Mark, what's up? I'm in New York. Want to get lunch? He's like, what are you in New York for? I said, oh, you know, I'm just hosting a little something-something in Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden. Okay, this was January of 2020. You want to know how long the dream job lasted? 3 months. That job was gone in 3 months. There was a little pandemic. I had worked for that my whole life, and it was gone like that. I thought that was the finale. I was pretty sure it didn't get any dang cooler than that. That was just an intermission. Several months later, I got a message from a total stranger, some crazy lady on Instagram. And this woman's like, hey, what's up? I saw you on TV in the PBR. I'm like, yeah. She's like, you want to own a bucking bowl? I was like, absolutely no, not. I don't know the first, what? Am I being punked? Like, get out of my DMs, lady. I don't have time. I'm not a stock contractor. Like, that's a man's world. I don't want to own a bucking bowl. So in July of 2020, I became the owner of a bucking bowl. Yeah. And y'all, he is the cutest, sweetest, most darling thing. His name is Top Dollar. He likes scratches and snacks. He is beautiful. And in 2020, he went on to become the American Bucking Bull Yearling World Champion. Oh! What? Not only did I become the mother of a baby bucker, but he was a good one. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought that that job with the PBR was the finale. How could it get any cooler? Okay, I'm sorry. This is cooler. That was just a little intermission on my journey. You guys are so young. I remember being your age thinking, okay, I'm going to graduate college, land the dream job, probably be a millionaire. Like, things are just going to, this is how it's going to work out for me. It's not going to work out that way, kids. It is not good. I know all the adults are like, yeah. Don't confuse your intermission for your finale. whatever you're going through, whatever big crazy dreams you have, however many times you've been told you're silly, you don't wear the right outfits, you don't fit in FFA because you were born in the city, get out of town. You belong. You all belong in agriculture. You guys, it's going to take all kinds of kinds to shift the narrative surrounding this great community. We need all kinds of kinds. I'm going to leave you with one final thing. I have not been successful in television, as successful as I have been, because I'm the best TV host in the world. There's so many people who are so much more talented than me. I did not get asked to come speak on the biggest stage in agriculture because I'm the best public speaker in the world. I'm not a former president of the United States, right? The success that I have had has not been because I'm the best at what I do. The success that I have had is because I was raised in agriculture. I have been successful because I was taught and raised with the values that you all are being raised with, right? When we shake someone's hand, you shake it for real and you look them in the eye. Your word means something. In agriculture, we're taught that things like humility and morality are important values. We take care of each other. We take care of our neighbor. I'm here to tell you, as someone who lives in a major city and works in television and entertainment, the values that you all have and that you're learning in FFA, a lot of people don't have those. And they're values that, quite frankly, you can't teach anymore. The success that I have had is because I am just a kid from Kansas, a little cowgirl. I'm an ag kid. I want to thank you for letting a little cowgirl from Kansas stand on the biggest stage in agriculture. Thank you. What is this? Hello, hello.
Miss Dehoff. Thank you for sharing your message with us today. Your efforts to bridge the gap between urban and rural communities and your words to our membership resonate well as we kick off this 94th National FFA Convention and Expo.
Thank you.
Thank you for believing in the future of agricultural education and for helping us write our own comeback story here in the FFA. FFA members and guests, let's hear it one more time for our keynote speaker, Ms. Courtney Dehoff.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.